Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be worshiping with you today. And as always, I thank God and I thank our senior pastor, Marty, for this privilege to be able to speak to you today. And for those of you who I have not met, I am Pastor Mark, and I get to serve here at the Crossings Community Church as the pastor of Missions Ministries. Do you remember an opportunity that you missed? You know, maybe it was an opportunity to make an investment that all of a sudden, you know, the stock just rose and you wish you had got in when you had that chance. Or maybe it was a career move, maybe a job offer, and you look back on it and you say, oh, that was a missed opportunity. Or maybe even, probably all of us can relate to this one, maybe it was in a relationship. And you've had a missed opportunity in some relationship in your life. That's my experience. I've missed opportunities time and time again. But there's one that stands out to me that I want to share with you today, and it was around the purchase of a property. Now, this is a property that my wife had a whole lot of passion for. She had a desire for this property. I mean, she just had to have this property. The problem is she could not convince me to physically walk through the house. Just to show you how sensitive I am, whenever we would pass the property and I'm driving, she's over in the passenger seat on the front, I would press the accelerator. True. To get past the property faster, as fast as we can. Could. See, one of the reasons I did that is because I could tell from the street that it had a lot of problems. As a matter of fact, my exact words to my wife, as passionate as she was, my exact words to her were, that place is a money pit. And guess what? I was surprised that she didn't nominate me for husband of the year that year. But it was one of those times when I learned that sometimes an opportunity is wrapped in a problem. So it is with the humility of being guilty of missing opportunities that I invite you to join me at Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 15. I'm reading from the New International Version, and it reads, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." God's given me the courage, despite my past, to be able to speak to you today from the topic, making the most of every opportunity. Now, before you get antsy on me today, understand this and be reminded of this, is that, you know, what God asks of us is not necessarily comfortable or easy. Remember, just a couple of examples. Remember, it was Jesus who instructed us to love our enemies. Remember, Jesus, here's one of those challenges for me, Jesus said to us, pray for those who despitefully use and persecute you. Really, Jesus? So we see this phrase in God's word, instruction from Apostle Paul, make the most of every opportunity. You know, an opportunity is a favorable moment or occasion that presents itself for a particular purpose or action. And then he would put this word every in there.
Every.
Meaning any and all favorable moments that present themselves for God's purpose, we are to make the most of them. God is reminding us today that every moment matters. I don't have to remind you that time is precious. Time is limited for each and every one of us. And once we use our time for one thing, we don't get it back to use it for something else. We get moments every day to reflect Christ and live in a way that honors him every day. We can apply this instruction at any age with whatever time we have left in this life. Whether we're 15, 50, or 100 years old, we can apply this instruction in this message today in our lives. Paul calls on those in the church at Ephesus and us to redeem the time. That's what he says. We're making the most of every opportunity to redeem the time. Or more accurately, buy up the time. And to just break it down very simply, he's saying to us, make good use of the time that we have. It may resonate with some of the rest of us by saying it this way. Paul is saying, through the inspiration of God, don't waste your time. In assessing my own use of time, there were things that I did that were a waste of time. I considered them, after reflecting on them, a waste of time because they had no lasting value. My family and I laugh about it now. We laugh about how I was giving more attention to a rewards program than I did. I hear them laughing over there. So that I didn't lose my extra bucks that were about to expire than I was giving to the time that was expiring each day of my life. See, we get to choose. Under the guidance and direction of God, we get to choose the best use of our time. Difficulty can arise, though, with the expectation of this text, because opportunities are not always readily obvious. Here's some good news. As followers of Christ, God doesn't just give us instructions and leave us to complete them by ourselves. Thankfully, God also equips us to recognize and make the use of every opportunity. I'm saying to each and every one of us, the help we need is available in and through Christ Jesus. God has already provided the help we need to make the most of every opportunity that he gives us. He doesn't leave us to figure it out for ourselves. He has already made provision for us to take advantage of the opportunities that he gives us. So that's why we step into this text and just look at a few statements that Apostle Paul makes. He says, first of all, be wise. In verse number 15, he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Remember that wisdom is not knowledge. Knowledge is very beneficial. Knowledge is important. But wisdom is the application of that knowledge. I know I'm not the only one here that knows some people with a whole lot of knowledge, but not a lot of wisdom. Some of us have come across people with a lot of knowledge, but that knowledge that they have is used to hurt more than it is to help. But God says to us that we are to not only have the knowledge of him, not only the knowledge of his word, but to have the wisdom to apply the knowledge that he has provided us. We get to live careful and intentional lives. We get to build up other believers by a consistent walk, is what Paul is saying. See, wisdom is also needed for our interaction with those who are not currently part of the church. In Colossians chapter number 4 and verses 5 and 6, Paul says this, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders." Here's that phrase again. Make the most of every opportunity. Look at verse 6. He says, now he's focusing here in Ephesians, we're talking about how we build up other believers by the life that we live, the wise life that we live. But in Colossians, we're talking about how we have a positive and godly impact on those who don't even know Christ. How in the world do we do that? It's important to God, important enough to have it in his word. So he says in verse number 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, we get to declare and demonstrate the love and grace of God to anyone we come in contact with because we realize that it is by God's love and grace that we are living the life that we get to live. Okay, you let that go right over your head, so let me back up and come. I want to pause to just remind us that we didn't get where we are because we're so good. We don't have the life that we have because we were perfect. Every one of us are in need of God's love. Every one of us are in need of God's grace. But the problem is we sometimes are recipients of God's love and grace, and we forget where we've come from. God says, don't you forget where you came from. Just as I loved you, and by grace you're saved through faith, I'm looking out for those others who still need to come to know me, who still need to feel my love, who still need to experience my unmerited favor, my grace. See, we get to build up others with grace-filled and sensible talk. One of the things I've learned, and I learned this from the Lord himself, sometimes the wisest thing we can do is be silent. Sometimes the wisest thing we can do is just say nothing. You remember that quote that says, stay silent rather than speak up and show people your stupidity. If you're silent, no one may know, right? But sometimes it's just wisest to just be silent. We don't have to say something about everything that somebody's doing. And Jesus showed us that. You remember when the woman, the Bible calls it, the woman who was caught in adultery was brought to Jesus. Jesus, many times, he was just silent at times. There were times he spoke, but there were other times he said. But remember what Jesus did? Now, they said, she's guilty, and, you know, the law says that we have the legal right to stone her. Now, I know, I need to step back for a moment and acknowledge to the ladies, I don't understand why the man wasn't there. Well, really, I kind of do. He got a pass, right? I don't know how the woman commits adultery without the man, but it was the woman that was brought to Jesus. And they said they were ready to stone her. And Jesus didn't say anything. The Bible says he just wrote on the ground. Silence. Can you just imagine the deafening silence as they watch Jesus just writing? And I know a lot of people have supposed what he wrote, but I don't think that's as important as the fact that Jesus was silent in that moment. And whatever he wrote in the ground must have helped them see themselves as the imperfect people that they were. That's us too, right? Because the next thing Jesus says is, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible tells us not one stone was thrown. They were dropped because every one of them were sinners as well. I'm trying to tell us, let's remember that it's God's love and grace that saved us. And he wants to work through us to extend that same love and grace to those who still need to come to know Jesus Christ and to grow in him. Well, you might say, well, Pastor Mark, I don't feel that wise right now. Oh, I've got great news for you. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 5, look at what it says. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And look at what it says, and it will be given to you. See, God equips us with his wisdom. We have an open invitation to ask God for his wisdom. It's right there. Have you ever made a comment, taken an action, sent an email or text in response to something someone said or did that you wish you could take back because it was not a very wise thing to say or do? You found out after the fact it made the situation worse. Here's a better approach. This is the one that I apply. We always have the opportunity to pause and to pray. It's applying James 1 and 5. Whatever someone says about you or says to you, whatever what someone does to you, however ugly that email or text might be that you received, we have an opportunity as followers of Christ to pause, even if it's just 1 minute, but just pause and say, Lord, help me with how I respond to this. Help me with how I should say what needs to be said. Or help me by giving me the strength to just be silent if it doesn't deserve a response. Can somebody give God some praise? He gives us that opportunity to call on him and have his wisdom in every interaction we have with anyone in this world. He says, ask for it. Then he tells us to be attentive. Verse 16, the phrase that is our text, make the most of every opportunity. But look at what it says there, because the days are evil. The days are evil, Paul says. See, days can be filled with things that call for our attention and pull us away from God's purpose. They can be distractions, temptations, difficulties, and even suffering. In a world of dangers, deceptions, and darkness, we are called and equipped to live as people of light. The best way to respond to darkness is to expose it to the light of Christ. See, because light, the light of Christ, strips darkness of its power. We are to make the most of every chance we get to help people see the light of Christ in a world that sometimes can be very dark. Notice, there is not an if in verse 16. He doesn't say if you have an opportunity. There is an expectation that we will have opportunities, that God has given us opportunities. We ought to be paying close attention to something, is what Paul is saying. You ever had someone, those of you who spend time in hotels or you spend some time in the restaurant, and have you ever had a person who was seen to just almost anticipate your need? Your glass of water, whatever it is that you're drinking. Mine is water, just for the record. Now, Senior Pastor Marty, we can talk later. He joked about that himself, right? But have you ever been at a restaurant or whatever it is, or you've been at a hotel and they're so attentive, it's almost as if they knew what you needed before you even asked for it. It's because they are paying attention. And here's what I'm saying to us. And those of us who have businesses, you certainly get it. If hotel workers and restaurant workers can do it for businesses that will one day come to an end, how much more are we as followers of Christ be willing to be attentive and pay close attention for that will never come to an end? See, whatever you do for any other area, it will one day come to an end. It will not last. But what we do for Christ will definitely last. And that's the opportunities that he's given us. See, it's amazing how attentive Jesus was with his disciples and even those who rejected him. Jesus is hanging there on the cross. And even while he hung there on the cross, suffering in agony, he was attentive enough to a criminal on the cross beside him to say, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." At a time when the early church was suffering persecution, followers of Christ remained attentive because of God's presence. I won't teach this text, but I want you to follow up after this message on this text. And it is in the book of Acts, chapter number 8, and verses 26 through 39. I'm just going to pull out a couple of highlights. So the Lord spoke to Philip and told him to go to a desert road. And Philip went to the desert road. He told him to get near this chariot where this Ethiopian eunuch was in the chariot. Notice that Philip was attentive enough and wise enough to ask the eunuch a question. The eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah. And so Philip asked the question. Do you understand what you're reading? Now, that, to me, that's a lesson in wisdom. Because with all of the knowledge that Philip has, Philip could have immediately told that eunuch how far he was away from God. Now, he went there to worship, but he didn't know Jesus yet. But instead, Philip asked him a question. Do you understand what you read? And then the eunuch asked Philip, after he said, "How can I understand unless someone help me?" So then he invites Philip up into the chariot. Philip comes up into the chariot, reads the text that the eunuch was reading, and then the Bible says that Philip started from there and shared with him the good news of Jesus Christ. He was attentive. First of all, he saw him reading. Then he was attentive enough to ask a question. Then he was attentive enough, watch this, to start where that person was to share the good news of Jesus Christ. See, God is calling on us to meet people where they are. As uncomfortable as it might be, meet people where they are and take the opportunity to demonstrate through our words and through our actions the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're also told to be available. Look at that last phrase. It says in verse 17, understand what the Lord's will is. God wants us to live in alignment with his will. Even Jesus says, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And remember, Jesus taught us to pray, "Lord, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." God helps us by giving us the ability to know and understand his will. Now, I'm going to step back and just share with you that the Word of God gives us general principles about God and God's will. But there are some particular elements and items in our life that are not found in the Word. And God will bless us by spending time with Him in prayer, spending time with Him in His Word, spending time in relationship with Him, and also in relationship with other people who are spiritually mature to be clearer on what the Lord's will is in difficult and very detailed decisions. He has already made that available for each and every one of us. I'll just jump down and just share with you availability. I'm going to jump over to Acts. Again, I won't teach it, but I want to highlight a couple things real quickly. Acts chapter number 16 and beginning there at verse number 25. Paul and Silas was in prison. Now, they were in prison because they had taken an action that affected the profit of some business people. So they were stripped, they were beaten, they were thrown in prison. And it says that at midnight in prison, they prayed and sang hymns. I'm going to say sang praises unto God. And it says all of a sudden, there was an earthquake. And the earthquake shook the prison. It says that the doors of the prison flew open. And it says that everyone's chains were loose. Are you following me? This is the true story. It's here in the Word of God. And it says that the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open. And he took out his sword and he was going to kill himself because he knew that if I have let these prisoners get away, I'm going to pay the penalty for that. So I may as well kill myself. But Paul speaks up and says, don't harm yourself. Now watch this phrase. He says, we are all here. Notice that when you're reading the word. He doesn't say, Paul and Silas are here. He says, we are all here. There were prisoners whose chains had been loosed with doors wide open in the prison that stayed there, look at the influence, with Paul and Silas, even though they could have ran away and be physically free. Look at the influence. He said, don't harm yourself, we're here. Then this jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. One little thing I want you to read when you read to pick up on this because it's pretty impressive. What's interesting is after that happens, the jailer takes Paul and Silas. He takes them to his house and they eat at his house in the middle of the night. They're eating at his house. That's verse 34. But what's amazing to me in verse 35, when the daylight appears, they're back in the jail by their own decision. And so they go back to the jail and then they get the word to release them. And what I'm saying to you is that God sometimes puts us in situations if we will make ourselves available to Him in order to use our situation, even if it's suffering, to let someone else know how good God is and how powerful the Lord Jesus Christ is. Would you please consider this? You may be going through what you're going through so that someone else may get to know Jesus the way that you do. I'll just share, this is, I'm not a person who, a public person with private type things. I'm generally a pretty private person, but I'm gonna do this real quickly. The short version of this is, some of you already know this. Some of you already know that I started the year with a diagnosis of bilateral kidney cancer. And in fact, the last couple of times I was here, speaking, I was headed to one of the surgeries. The last two times I spoke here, I had the surgery was on the calendar, so I had two surgeries. What God did in that, I didn't understand. Whenever we have that type of thing, if you've experienced it or you experience it now, sometimes you might ask the question like I did, Lord, would you help me understand what am I supposed to get from this? Okay. Well, one of the things God showed me is whatever we're going through, whatever our situation, whatever our circumstance is that God is giving us an opportunity to trust him in it. If you can't figure out anything else, whatever, one of the things, the foundation of everything else is God is saying, trust me. Well, real quickly, I want to share with you, there was this medical assistant. We were there, two surgeries, two hospital stays. On the second hospital stay, this medical assistant came in and said, I know you guys. My wife was there by the bedside. I'm in the hospital bed. I was like, I don't remember you. it was a little bit weird. She said, no, really. I know you guys. I'm like, why? How do you think you know us? You were here before. Yeah, we've been here before. And she said, I remember you. I was like, really? She said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. She said, yes, it's you. Because I remember we had this discussion that you were here on a Sunday in the hospital and you were not happy with the fact that you couldn't go to church that day. Oh, okay. Maybe she knows what she's talking about. But here's what's interesting, and this is not saying anything about us, but I'm going to tell you, God sometimes does things we don't even anticipate and see that he's going to do, and that is, she said, I remember you so well because you and your wife, you were so very kind and nice to me. So then she commenced to tell us more about her life, her family, her story, her pursuit, and her education, and we didn't even know we had any impact on that young lady. It was all God. And it made me go back to something someone said when I told them that I was diagnosed with cancer, and that was, well, after they got over the emotions of it all, said, you just never know how God might use you to cross someone's path, to touch their life, to make their lives better in some way, somehow. Well, here's the blessing. I want you to, hopefully many of you are aware of it. After the two surgeries in May, I was went to my post-op, and my surgeon said, I feel very comfortable in telling you, you're now cancer-free. To God be the glory. But here's the deal. Whether we're suffering or whether everything is all right, I close out with this. God says to us, we have opportunities. And he gives us the ability to be wise. He gives us the ability to be attentive. And he gives us the ability to be available. And he's saying to us, please make the most of every opportunity that I'm giving you, no matter what you may be going through right now. I'm going to ask our prayer team to please come forward. And they're coming forward for you, to pray with you, to take your needs to the Lord in prayer. They'll be up front. And when I finish praying, they'll be ready to speak to you and to take your needs to the Lord. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us and keeping us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your presence, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just thank you that you've blessed us to be able to surrender to you. We thank you for the resources you've made available to us. You've met our every need, and we're so very grateful, Lord God, that you have put us in a place that we can make the most of every opportunity. Lord, we commit to you and ask you, Lord God, to work in us, with us, and through us to accomplish your will as we are sensitive to what you are desiring to do in redeeming the world and reclaiming people back to yourself. It is in Jesus' powerful and miraculous name we pray. Amen. Can you help me give God some praise?